Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to Real Recovery. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I talk about anorexia recovery and I give you guys practical tips and advice to help you if you're struggling with an eating disorder. My usual disclaimer, obviously I'm not a medical professional, so don't treat any of this as medical advice. I'm very glad that you're here. I hope this episode helps you. And I'm going to just quickly explain what I'm doing here and then we'll get into the episode. Okay, so basically what this is it is part three of my series on surviving the summer in eating disorder recovery. If you haven't listened to the first two parts of this series, I really recommend that you do. In the first part of this series, I spoke about body image, being in a bikini, the kind of uncomfortable things that people are expected to go through in the summer to do with body image. I gave some tips and some ideas on how you can manage and how you can cope and how you can reframe how you think about it. So yeah, I recommend listening to that. And then part two was basically, it was about the social pressure that comes along with summer, the culture of losing weight for the summer, diet culture, fad diets, and all that kind of stuff that people around you might, you know, be engaging in, and that can be quite triggering for people. So it was basically just about the social aspects and how to navigate that in the summer. And then this episode is going to be all about travel, how you can cope on a holiday, how you can kind of plan for certain events, and basically just make sure that you're as comfortable as possible this summer if you are traveling. Yeah, anyway, let's get into today's episode then. Okay, so it does seem that when it comes to travel, most people go to like hot countries, and I think that heat is kind of it's quite an overlooked part of recovery, and it can cause quite significant distress in people with eating disorders. I'm speaking more from personal experience here. I've always been someone who has struggled with heat. I know that a lot of people aren't as sensitive to heat, but for the people out there who do get very overwhelmed by being hot, I think it's something that is a bit overlooked, and I think it can actually contribute to quite significant increases in eating disorder thoughts, and it can, yeah, definitely cause quite a lot of emotional distress. So I think a big part of coping with heat is kind of managing the physical sensations and discomfort. This is the kind of thing that I do that helps me a lot. It helps me avoid panic attacks, it helps me avoid feeling really, really like negative with my body image, because that's also something that being too hot and too sweaty and all like uncomfortable, and it can actually, for me at least, it used to have more of an impact on my body image, but I reckon it still would if I was really struggling anxiety wise as well. Now, not that that's the worst thing in the world, having negative body image for me now doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's not something that I really am too worried about, because it's something that it doesn't affect my self-worth as much anymore. If you listen to my episode on body image, you'll know that I've kind of rewired a lot of my beliefs towards it, and it's not something that would bother me hugely, but I know that a year ago it really would have bothered me, and body image was something that would have caused me a lot of problems. And I can imagine that for a lot of people listening, it's a big deal really. You want to avoid having negative body image, so being hot, if that does trigger it through any of the reasons that I just said or other reasons, then I think trying to either avoid the heat or manage how you cope with the heat will have a knock-on effect, and hopefully it will mean that your anxiety surrounding your body is going to just be less in general, which I think is helpful. So it's all just about managing your physical discomfort, making sure that you always have stuff with you that can cool you down, and at the same time it's about having mental resilience and knowing that heat and being uncomfortable in your body, being hot and sweaty, it passes. It's always temporary. You can always cool down afterwards. You can get through these difficult moments where you are kind of very physically uncomfortable and very overwhelmed emotionally by the sensations going on. So, but you can kind of prevent heat in a way. You can obviously stay in the shade. You can wear clothes that are going to cover you from the sun, but they're very loose and very thin material, so you're not going to get hot in them. You can, you know, take like a little portable fan with you. They're everywhere now. They're in like supermarkets and stuff. You can just buy those little battery operated fans and just have them with you. I find that really helpful. This is going to sound really stupid and really obvious, but I'm not someone who gets sunburnt, so I never felt the need to wear sun cream. If you're like me and you don't wear sun cream, I actually really recommend that you do, because not only does it obviously prevent skin cancer and sunburn, which is very important, but also it will stop the surface temperature of your skin from going too high. When you are being cooked literally by the sun and you don't have any of that SPF protection, your skin is going to quite literally heat up. There's a reason that when you are sunburnt, your skin is like hot to the touch for days afterwards. So wear SPF, and genuinely it will have an impact on how much you heat up during the day. So yeah, if you're someone who was kind of silly like me for many years and didn't bother with that, I really, really recommend you do, not only for all the obvious benefits of it, but also just it will help you not get so hot and not get so overwhelmed by it. Another thing you can do when it comes to being really hot and overwhelmed is make sure that your hair is up and out of your face. Make sure that you're not carrying like unnecessary bags with you. I know this all kind of sounds very obvious, very self-explanatory, but I think it is just something that does get a bit too overlooked, because I know that when I'm hot, especially in the past, when I've been hot, when I've been uncomfortable, when I've been all sweaty, I know that for starters, that does impact the, because I used to suffer more with this, but I used to have like edema, water retention, you know, the kind of swelling that happens, especially during early recovery. Being hot had a significant impact on that. And I think for the general population, I think a lot of people do, you know, notice that their fingers, their feet, it kind of swells up in the heat, right? It's quite a normal thing. And I think when you're already suffering with like distortions and body image issues, having extra swelling going on can just be quite difficult to cope with. So what you can do to cope with that is, first of all, expect it and accept it. So don't try and fight it away. Don't try and don't go into to traveling and summer and being hot thinking that everything will just be perfect. Try and expect that you might have a little bit of, you know, swelling going on. You might feel quite hot, you might get sweaty and hot, and you might just have to suck it up for the rest of the day and feel that way. And honestly, just having that in your mind that actually it's okay if all of that happens, the worst case scenario is that you feel uncomfortable for a short period of time. That's literally the worst that can happen. So when you're in that moment and you're feeling really hot, you feel like your body image is just absolutely terrible because you're experiencing swelling, you feel like your self-confidence has gone down because you're all like hot and sweaty and your face has gone red, or you just feel like overwhelmed physically from all the discomfort going on because you're hot, honestly, just remind yourself that it 100% passes, and go into it thinking, if all of that happens, I can cope, because you really can cope with it. So that's just my little advice for heat in the summer. But yeah, now let's get on to the issue to do with routines and changing how you go about your day, if you are going on holiday, or if you're just going maybe to like stay with family or something, that you're just doing different things basically. And often that does involve travel. It might be airports, it might not be. It can just be quite stressful, especially I think if you do have an eating disorder, because you already have that. You're already quite anxious just in general usually, especially this is more for people who have just started recovery, or who are maybe haven't just started, but maybe you're someone who still really needs that kind of structure of meal plans, or maybe you're just someone who is so anxious and on edge, because often when you do start recovery, you are giving up that eating disorder coping mechanism. You do tend to feel a bit out of control. And I think if you add on, you know, traveling to a different country or going through, you know, airports and all of that kind of stuff, it can just get a bit too much. So I think what I would recommend, if you are expecting to do that or you're in the middle of doing that, is that you obviously plan ahead. Everyone knows that. But when you're planning, I think it's good to take the role almost of like an adult version of yourself, parenting a child version of yourself. So imagine that you are taking care of a child and do everything that you would do for that child to make them comfortable. So don't miss out steps just because you can't be bothered, or just because, you know, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like if you're someone who, I don't know, maybe you need to ring ahead at a hotel and ask if they have such and such, you might think, oh, I can't be bothered, it's not that big of a deal. But if you were looking at a little 5-year-old child and they were really upset and they were stressed and you knew that they were going to need a certain accommodation or they were going to struggle with something, you would do everything in your power to make that happen and make that easy for them. So when it comes to planning, you have to really prioritize your needs, and you have to actually do everything you can really to make sure that you're going to be as comfortable as possible. Obviously within what you can do, obviously there's things that are going to be out of your control, that you really can't do anything about. And that is where my second point comes in, which is basically you just have to accept that things might be unpredictable. Things going wrong and things being uncomfortable is in many ways a good thing. It's something that I can actually be kind of happy about in a very odd sense. I can actually be like, oh great, okay, something's going wrong, because you going through difficult things and times of discomfort, unpredictability, when you have to do something different, when something spontaneous happens that you can't control, all of those things, they add up, and every single time that you get through them, your brain learns and remolds, and it will make you into a more flexible person, it will make you into a more resilient person, it will make you into a person who can handle things that life throws at them, and that's just a really great thing. So when you are going through these things, when you've planned ahead in every way that you can, when you've done everything that you can and stuff still goes wrong, well, A, just expect that to happen, and B, when it does happen, take a look at it at the bigger picture and think, this is great, this is a life skill, this is me overcoming a hurdle, this is a challenge that is being put in my way for a reason and I can overcome it. And I think that can just really help. When it comes to travel, like airports, hotels, the kind of mechanics of going on holiday, if you are doing that, like I said before, plan like you would for a child. Have your best interests in mind. That might be ringing ahead to see if places have certain things. It might just be checking to see if stuff is going to be how you think it's going to be, or if it's going to be different. Knowledge is power, so find out as much information as you can about things that you're going to do, and that should put your mind at rest a little bit. Don't be afraid to ask questions. So if you're going away with a group of people and you don't know your schedule, you don't know certain things, and you feel too awkward or intimidated to actually ask, don't. You have to ask, because you have to put yourself first. And honestly, if you don't ask, you don't get. So if you want a certain accommodation for something, if you want something done differently, ask. And then once you've done that, and once you are, you know, mentally preparing to go away, or once you, maybe you're in a stressful situation, maybe you're in an airport, maybe your flight's cancelled, maybe, I don't know, maybe they don't have the food that you thought they'd have, maybe your hotel's not what you thought it would be, maybe when you're going and doing activities, something goes wrong. During those times, just make sure that you keep reminding yourself that every setback is actually something that will make you stronger, and therefore it's something that to be grateful for, and it's something to be happy about. Also, when it comes to traveling, make sure that you bring things that you have at home that make you feel comfortable. So although it is good to, if you are going to a different country, to try new foods and to challenge your eating disorder in different ways, it's also important to remember that you are human, and there might be times when you are really struggling, maybe with anxiety or something, and it's good to just make sure that you know you have the baseline of everything covered. Obviously, again, this also depends where you are in recovery. If you're someone who's maybe just started and you haven't really built up the strength and the ability to challenge certain foods, it's okay for you to bring foods that you're more comfortable with, if that's possible. Have snacks just as backup options. So yeah, bring snacks. Don't be afraid to, you know, I don't like saying revert back to your safe foods, but essentially, if that does need to happen on the one-off, and again, it depends on where you are in recovery, some people this will not be necessary for at all, and they'll be totally comfortable eating whatever, whenever. And that just shows that recovery is about a journey, and not everyone will be at the same place. So it's fine, but just do what you got to do, basically, to make sure that you're still eating enough, because that's kind of the most important thing. If you've got stuff like, I know people use fidget toys, they might have like certain sensory toys and stuff. If that kind of thing helps you, then bring it with you, don't forget. Obviously, it's all about making sure that you've done everything you can, and then, but more importantly than that, is just stopping once you have done everything you can, realizing that there is a limit to what you can control, and then after that point, you just have to accept that things will be unpredictable, things will go wrong, and that ultimately it's still a net positive for you, because it's still going to make you stronger as a person. Basically, nothing can go wrong overall. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to belittle anyone's anxieties about travel, by the way. I know that some people also have like phobias about flying and stuff, so routine changes, being away from home, they're temporary things and you can get through them. You can mentally prepare yourself ahead of time to know that for 2 weeks or a week or 3 days or a weekend or however long you're going away, that's however long you're going away. This isn't a forever thing, so you don't have to catastrophize, and honestly just take advantage of different new opportunities, and know that well, for starters, it can actually be very fun and exciting, and you can embrace being happy. Honestly, you don't have to be struggling on holiday. You can actually have a really good time. Despite anything else that's going on, you can still have a good time. Equally, if you're not having a good time, A, it's temporary, and B, the bad times make you stronger, so it's still a net positive. That's my kind of overarching message for traveling, and that's something that has really helped me and will be helping me as I'm going away soon. So yeah, I hope that this little series has helped you feel a bit more prepared and a bit more relaxed about summer. Honestly, everything is fine. I know it's very cliche, but literally nothing matters. We're on a floating rock hurtling through space. We're very insignificant, and our anxieties about ourselves and our bodies and our routine changes and whatever it may be, they're all temporary. Emotions always pass. Summer also is temporary, by the way. And also, the point is that if you look at the bigger picture, you're here to live life, be a human, be an organism existing in the world. You're not someone, you're not an object, you're not something that needs to be perfect, you're not something that needs to always be in routine. And I hope that this summer goes okay for you, and I hope you've enjoyed this episode. But if you have enjoyed this episode, by the way, please rate it, review it. It's free, it takes 2 seconds, and it really, really helps me, because basically it just tells the algorithms and these podcast platforms that people like it, and then it will push it out to more people, which is a good thing, because hopefully those people can hear it and find it helpful too. So if you have already done that, thank you so much. It really, really, really does help. If you want to follow the Instagrams, they'll be in the show notes, as will my website and a link to my shop where I do sell recovery related things like worksheets and stuff. I hope you guys have a great week, and I really appreciate you listening.